Welcome to the Calvary Assembly Podcast, with weekly messages from the Calvary Assembly of God Church in Lexington, Nebraska. You can find out more online at lexag.org and on Facebook at Calvary Assembly Lex. Thanks for listening.
I love it. All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to open them to Hebrews chapter 5. We started a series last week called Gradually, Then Suddenly, and this is based on some principles from a book by one of our AG pastors named Mark Batterson. If you like to read, it's a great book. Lots of great stories in it. Gradually, Then Suddenly, and the title comes from the idea that God works so often in the background when we don't see it, and then when God answers a prayer, it seems like it's suddenly, but really, it's been what? Gradually. God has been working, and the whole idea came from a quote. They asked a guy, how did you become bankrupt? And he said, well, gradually, then suddenly. It kind of happened. So today we're going to talk about grace, how God works in us. So if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12. The writer of Hebrews is talking to the church there, and he says this, starting in verse 12, you've been believers now for so long that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and can't eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. But solid food is for those who are mature. Would you say that word with me? Mature. It's for those who are mature, who through, say this word with me, training. Through what? Training. Through training, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. The writer of Hebrews says, if we want to be mature, we have to do what? Train. We have to grow. We have to do the work to grow. How many of us have ever seen an athlete and said, man, I wish I had that person's natural athletic ability? You ever said that? Man, I wish I could swing a bat like them. I wish I could shoot a basketball like them. I wish I could swing a golf club and not cry, right? I wish I could do those things. Well, I want to show you a little video really quick about a man who is an incredible baseball player. It talks about this.
This is George Shotgun Shuba. You may or may not have heard of him, but he was an outfielder on the 1955 Brooklyn Dodgers team that won the World Series. Shotgun Shuba was known for his swing, which appeared to be as natural as a smile. Now, the reason that I'm telling you this is because there's a beautiful exchange in Roger Kahn's The Boys of Summer that reveals how Shuba got his swing. And it goes like this. Kahn visits Shuba and tells him, I would have given anything to have had your natural swing. To which Shuba replies, you could have. Shuba explains to Kahn what he did every single offseason. First, he drilled a hole in his bat and filled it with 10 ounces of lead. Then he took a ball of string and made knots in it until it hung in a clump like a ball. Then, reaching for a chart marked with X's, he says, in the winters, for 15 years, I'd swing at the clump 600 times, every night, and after 60, I'd make an X. 10 X's and I had my 600 swings. Then I could go to bed. George Shuba got his natural swing by swinging a leaded baseball bat at a ball of string 47,000 times every winter. Let that sink in for a minute.
So if you want to get a good swing, what do? You swing 47,000 times. And guys, I have heard so many people tell me, Pastor, I wish I could hear God's voice like this person. I wish I could pray like this person. I wish I knew the word like this person. And guess what? We can. What do we have to do? We have to do the disciplines, right? We have to do the disciplines. Because the Bible says in Acts that God is no respecter of persons. What does that mean? God will do the same thing for all of us if we put in the work. If we put in the work. I had a professor, and I used to say, man, I love the way this guy interacts with God's word. I love how he reads it. I love how he studies it. And guess what? I could have the same thing if I have the disciplines. And I'm working on it. I'm trying. So how do we grow? How do we grow in the habits, the rhythms of grace that help us grow as Christians? Well, I'm going to show you today how we can do that. The first thing is we have to commit to daily growth habits. So check this out. Spiritual maturity is a result of what? Small, faithful choices made over a lifetime. If I want to grow in my relationship with Jesus, I have to commit to doing those small things every single day. What is that? I have to read the Word, right? Do I have to spend an hour? No. If you can take 5 minutes every day and read God's Word, maybe before you go to bed, maybe before you get up in the morning, well, after you get up, before you leave in the morning, maybe on your lunch break. I know people who go to their car on their lunch break to get away from certain coworkers, and they read their Word. I said, that's how I don't kill them in the afternoon. I read my Word, right? I do those things. I take time to pray every day. I take time to listen to God's voice every day. I do those things. That's how we get there. Because the writer of Hebrews says they grew to maturity through what? Training. Through training ourselves. One thing that Mark Batterson talks about in a different book, he calls it habit stacking. He says that the way he reads his Bible every day is with coffee. He said everything's better with caffeine. So I just read my Bible and I drink coffee. I do it with breakfast. I eat breakfast. I read my Word in the morning. That's how I get that habit. But it's this idea, and I don't know who said this, but it's called long obedience in the same direction. It's faithfulness. Long obedience. I just keep doing it over and over. Is it glamorous? No. Amy and I were listening to a podcast as we were driving the other day, and the guy said, the secret to great leadership in your life is being boring. Just do the same things over and over and over again. Just keep doing those same things. Growth is the effect of small, good decisions. But check this out. Do you know what disasters are? The result of a string of small, bad decisions. So if I want to grow in my relationship with Christ, I keep doing the good things over and over again. I keep being faithful. If I want to destroy my life, I keep doing wrong things over. Because no one ever gets up and says, hey, I'm going to just explode my marriage today. Right? What do? Small choices. But here's the thing. Spiritual habits shape our destiny. We have to remember, spiritual habits shape our destiny. God's purpose for our life unfolds through those daily disciplines that prepare us for those defining moments. I love this quote that came out of this book. Mark Batterson said, when we're born, we may look like our parents. When we die, we look like our decisions. When I die, I look like the decisions I've made over my lifetime. Am I going to be faithful? Am I going to serve? Am I going to give? Am I going to pray? Am I going to do those things that help me get closer to Jesus? Or am I just going to coast through life? We're shaped by those routines. So those spiritual habits shape our destiny. And those spiritual habits prepare us for future ministry. Spiritual maturity is just practiced obedience. God keeps forming us through that repetition, right? God keeps doing those things in us. And so this isn't rituals. I'm not talking about just doing a ritual. I'm talking about spending time daily with God to allow him to prepare my heart. Just like George Shuba, how did he prepare for that swing? Repetition. You talk to guys like Tiger Woods, how did you get that swing? Was it natural gift? No, I swung a club a lot. I was reading an article about Steph Curry, one of the greatest shooters of all time. You know what Steph Curry does? Practices. And one of his teammates said his practices are not just practices, they are competition. He said he goes at it every single day to get there. And guys, the same thing. We don't do this to earn salvation. We do it to what? Grow maturity. So I can be used. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Don't waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourselves to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Paul says we grow by training. The writer of Hebrews says we grow by training. That's how we do it. So we have to commit to those daily growth habits, and then we have to allow God to train us for maturity. We have to allow God to do his work to train us for maturity. And here's the thing, guys. I want you to please hear this today. I really felt like God wanted to speak to someone this. God often uses our seasons of obscurity to train us. Those seasons when we feel like God's not doing anything is usually when God's doing the most work in us. Those seasons when I feel like I've been forgotten, when I'm laying dormant, is usually the time that God is doing something where? In here. Those times we feel like, God, do you remember? Do you remember I'm here? Do you remember I was praying for this? Do you remember I felt like you wanted me to do this ministry? God, you wanted to use me with students. God, you wanted to use me with my family. God, you wanted to do this. In those seasons, it feels like we're forgotten is where God's training us. Psalm 78, verse 70. It says, God chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. He took David from tending the ewes and lambs to make him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands. Where did God train David to be a king? When he was a shepherd, right? Where did God train David to be a great warrior when he was a shepherd? He said, hey, I used to fight off lions and bears with my bare hands. That's how God trained him. There's another guy in the Old Testament you might have heard of. His name was Moses. God used Moses to lead millions of people out of slavery. Where did God train Moses? In the desert as a shepherd. He trained him. Counting those sheep helps you count people, right? Leading sheep kind of reminds you of people sometimes. So God uses those sideline times to get us ready for the main stage. And we even see this in the life of the Apostle Paul. After God called Paul, he went off by himself for months to pray and to study. God prepared him for those times. God uses those times in the sidelines to shape us. So guys, you may be here this morning saying, no, I just feel like God has completely forgotten me. I feel like God's not answered prayer. I feel like God has just kind of left me here to sit. Maybe God is training us. I've told you this before, but I remember one time in our life, Amy and I, man, we were really discouraged. We felt like God had forgotten us. And a friend of mine sent me a message and he said, I was praying for you today and I just felt like God told you that you're in the desert. And I said, yeah, obviously. And he's like, no, I think God is training you for something. Looking back, we can see that. God was shaping us. God was giving us the skills we needed. God was shaping our soul for what we needed next. And guys, God might be doing that for you today. God might be training you for what's next. And God often uses hardship to grow us. Training is not fun, right? If you exercise, if you practice, it's not really fun usually. It's what? It's work. It's putting in the work, doing the time, doing the things. And that's what God does with us so often. He uses hardship to train us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, he says, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. I was reading about this, and there's this idea in education now called desirable difficulty. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this, but they're adding challenges to learning. And they said, when you challenge people, they actually learn better. Who knew, right? But they said that they use that challenge to help people remember what they're learning. Guys, this is exactly what God does with us, isn't it? We say, Lord, help me grow. Okay, here's a challenge. Grow, right? God does those things. So we have to understand that he grows us, but we don't grow well without resistance. And again, we see this. David, before David became king, there was this crazy guy who also happened to be king that chased David around for a long, long time trying to kill him. We see in the Old Testament, there's a guy named Joseph who became second in command in Egypt. God trained him through slavery, through prison, things he didn't do wrong. God trained Moses in the desert. The Pharaoh Jesus was tempted in the desert. Saul was persecuted. So God uses those hard times to help us what? Grow. So we have that maturity. And then God often uses community as well. He'll use community to grow us. Being in a church family helps us grow. Why? Because there are people who will pray for us. There are people who will encourage us. But there are also people who will do what? Challenge us. Sometimes people will come along and say, hey, God told me this for you, or hey, I saw this. And then guys, sometimes there's people who will irritate us in our church family, right? You ever had somebody do that? If not, you will. There are people who can irritate us because we're all what? We're all human. And those times that we get offended can help us do what? Grow. If we allow it. If we respond correctly. When we get offended, we go to that person and say, hey, I know you didn't mean to do this, but you did. And we work through it. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs says. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. How does iron sharpen iron? Friction, right? Taking off the dull edges. This is what God does with us. He allows us to grow. And then we have to commit to lifelong spiritual growth. I have to say, I'm going to do those habits. I'm going to allow God to shape me as he grows me. But then I'm going to commit to doing this for what? Life. And guys, that's what's in our purpose statement. Train believers to be mature, lifelong followers of Christ. We want to train people to grow. We want to commit to that. And here's the deal. We have to understand we never arrive at maturity. We just continue to grow deeper. There's a verse that I absolutely love, but it gets taken out of context so many times. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. God, my heart's desire is a 2026 Raptor sitting in my driveway, right? Does God do that? Probably not. If he does, call me because I want to come see. But what happens? What is the psalmist saying? As I grow in Christ, his desires become what? My desires. As I get closer to him, I become more like him and I want what he wants. He says, if you take delight in the Lord, if you grow in him, your desires start to line up and the things that please him please us. And that's what we want to do. We want to get to that point. We say, Lord, I want what you want. I want to see the things you want to see. We align with him. So we understand we never arrive. I never get to the point where we say, "Woo! I am good. I'm ready for heaven, man. I'm here." I wish we could. But we see in Scripture we keep growing, right? When did Paul say, I finished the race? Right before he died. He said, I'm there. I'm ready because I'm about to die. And we understand that we never outgrow service. We never outgrow service. We never get to the point where God doesn't want to use us. And some of us have been educated beyond our obedience. What does that mean? We know more than we actually do. And so if we want to keep growing, we have to keep what? Serving. Keep putting in the work. Many of us know people who know lots of Bible, but they don't know how to live it, right? We have education, but we don't have the application sometimes. And so we need to keep going, keep growing. Keep saying, Lord, use me. Lord, would you help me to grow? Would you use me? Would you do something through me today? God wants to use us in prayer and intercession. He can use us to serve, to greet, to teach, to do all these things, to help mentor others. You know, I know sometimes we get to the point we say, you know, I just can't. I can't keep up with the kids. Teenagers scare me. I don't feel like I'm a good teacher. Guess what we can do? We can mentor someone. God, would you send me someone that I can come alongside and help them grow and show them how to live this life, to show how God has been faithful? We have a minister's retreat every year here in Nebraska, and I got to help kind of plan this one. And we decided we want to take older ministers and have them teach the younger. And so we've got a panel of retired ministers that are going to come, and they're just going to say, this is what God has done in me over my lifetime. This is how I stayed faithful. These are some of the things I've learned. And they were thrilled. These older guys were thrilled because they said, I've got so much I want to share, but I don't know how to do it. So we're going to say, come alongside one of these younger guys and teach them. And guys, all of us can do the same thing. Say, God, would you send me someone that I can mentor? Send me someone that I can come alongside. As you're looking around the church and you see a young family, hey, can I just like buy you coffee once a month and just share things I've learned as a parent? Can I just share with you what God has shown me about how to be a husband, how God has trained me to be a wife, how God has shown me how to be a great grandparent that comes along and encourages my grandkids? Can I just tell you the cool things God has done in my life? Because you know what's amazing about your testimony? It's repeatable. What God does in you, God can use to encourage someone else to do the same thing. And then last, we have to continue to trust God's plan for us. I love this quote, John Perkins. said, yielding to God's will can be hard, and sometimes it really hurts, but it always brings peace. I trust that God has something for me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. What does that mean? God has a plan for your life. God wants to do something with you. God wants to do something with us. God wants to do something with all of us. We just have to trust him for his what? Plan. And that plan comes through serving, praying, reading the word, allowing him to use us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, all glory to God who's able through his mighty power work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So I'm going to ask the worship team if they would come up this morning, and we're going to take a moment to pray. So if you're able, you want to stand, we're going to take a moment to pray today. I love this line. Mark Batterson said, God's vision for your life is bigger than your current level of obedience can sustain. Keep pressing, keep practicing, keep growing. So that's our prayer, is that we would all keep growing in our relationship with Christ. We would keep doing those daily habits that grow us so we can serve, so we can grow, so we can be used. So Lord, we thank you this morning that you're never done with any of us. But Lord, you want us to keep growing. You want us to keep hearing your voice better. You want us to listen better, to serve better. Not that we can earn salvation, but we can grow in maturity. So God, would you help each and every one of us? Would you show us areas in our lives where we can say, Lord, would you grow me in this? Lord, there are some of us today that maybe just say, Lord, I'm going to commit to those daily habits. I'm going to commit to praying every day. I'm going to commit to reading your word every day. I'm going to commit to serving every day. I'm going to commit to listening, taking time to listen. God, there are some of us here today who might say, you know what, Lord, I just need to commit to learning from you, to allowing you to shape me, to not fight, but to listen as you speak and help me to grow in that. Or there might be some of us today who just say, you know what, I'm in for the long haul. I'm going to do this. So would you speak to every one of us in this room this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you say, you know, Pastor Rex, I need to say yes to Jesus. If I was to be really honest today, I'd say I'm not close to him. I haven't asked him to forgive my sins, but I want to do that today. I want to start that relationship with him today. That you would just slip your hand up right where you're at. We just want to pray with you today. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what, Pastor X? I'm not great with those habits, but I want to commit today. From this point on, I want to say, Lord, I'm going to spend time with you every day, whether it's reading the word, spending time in prayer, spending time listening, but I just want to commit to those daily habits so I can grow. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Yeah, Lord, I want to do that. If you're to say, you know what, I got to commit to learning. I think God's doing something in me, and I kind of fight it sometimes, but I wanted to say, Lord, shape me. I'm in a season of obscurity. I'm a season of growth. Lord, would you shape me? If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? We want to pray today. Yeah, Lord, I want to be shaped. If you say, you know what, I just want to make that commitment for the long haul. I want to say, God, I'm in for the rest of my life. I want to give you everything. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and say, Lord, I'm in. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for those who raised their hands this morning. And we said, you know what? I want to commit to those habits. Lord, would you give us the strength to do those daily habits? Whether it's starting a YouVersion plan on our phone, spending time reading every day, maybe it's spending time reading or listening, praying, God, would you help us to commit to those habits? And Lord, for those who are in a season of obscurity, they feel like they're in the wilderness. I'm saying, Lord, would you train me in this time? Would you shape me? Would you mold me into who you want me to be? God, help them today. Encourage them to know that they're not forgotten, but that they're growing. And Lord, for those who say, I'm in it for life, God, help us to make that commitment to be lifelong followers. And say, Lord, we're in. We're never going to arrive, but we're going to keep at it. God, would you encourage us in that? In Jesus' name.